Club Company.
And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
It seems that every housewife has a weakness. Now, some just can't make good biscuits. Others can't iron their husband's shirts properly. But Gracie has the worst weakness of all. She can't say no to a house-to-house salesman. Whatever he has to sell, Gracie will buy it. Now, a typical day after George has gone to the office runs something like this. First comes a magazine salesman.
Yes?
How do you do, madam? Is your husband a sport lover?
Well, yes and no. He's a pretty good sport, but he's not much of a...
Lieutenant. I mean, does he hunt and fish?
Yeah, yes.
Good. I'm selling Field and Stream.
Well, we wouldn't have room for a field, but I'll take a stream.
Field and Stream is a magazine.
Oh, well, I'm sure my husband will like that. I'll take a 20-year subscription.
Is that your husband's picture on the piano?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I suggest you give him a 1-year subscription and renew it if necessary.
Next comes a salesman from a nursery.
How do you do? I'm selling flowers and shrubs.
Oh, well, I can't be fooled twice. I'll take a 1-year subscription.
But, madam, I'm from a nursery.
Oh, a nursery.
Yes.
Well, I'll take one baby boy and one baby girl.
Next comes a man selling insect spray.
Yes?
Good morning, madam. Do you have Japanese beetles, aphids, termites, or silverfish?
Well, no, I don't. I'll take a dozen of each.
Yes, anyone who comes to Gracie's door finds a willing buyer. In fact, one day...
How do you do?
Well, how do you do?
I'm making a house-to-house canvas.
Well, if it's a nice, heavy canvas, I'll buy it.
The canvas is for the Gellert pool.
All right. I'll take one pole for the backyard and one for the front.
Poor Gracie. She just cannot say no. George has tried his best to correct her weakness.
Gracie, I want you to learn how to say no to salesmen. Whatever they say, you answer no.
Mm-hmm. All right, dear.
Let's see you say it.
No.
Try it again.
No.
Now, the next time a salesman comes to the door, that's the only word I want you to speak.
No.
Right.
Good day, madam. Have you a concert grand piano?
No.
Would one be too expensive for you?
No.
Do you think your husband would object if you bought one?
No.
Well, splendid. I see you're both music lovers. Would one piano be enough?
No.
Ah, you'll take one apiece. Excellent. Will tomorrow be soon enough for delivery?
No.
This afternoon, then. Would you like the easy credit terms?
No.
That'll be COD, $4,000. Good day.
George managed to cancel the piano order, but as we look in at the Burns home now, we find him lamenting the stockpile of other merchandise which Gracie has accumulated over the years.
Look at our spare room. It's over half full of junk you bought. You must have a fortune in these worthless books alone. What are those?
Oh, that's a very valuable set. The Life of Madman Munch in 15 volumes.
No home should be without that. And here's a book on trigonometry. You don't even know what that means.
Oh, I do so. Now take it by syllables. First comes trigger. That's a horse. Then comes nom. That's French for name. And last, a tree. You know what that is. So trigonometry is a book about a French horse up a tree.
Did you read it?
No, I'm going to wait and see the picture.
Yes, it ought to be great. Crosby and Hope in the Road to Trigonometry. What is all this other stuff you bought?
Well, that's a rubber soap poker.
Rubber poker.
Uh-huh.
If you make a mistake, you can erase it.
And that's a gadget that sharpens pencils underwater.
While I'm down there, I'll say hello to Esther Whitney.
Yes. And that's a large economy size 5-gallon cocktail shaker.
Just the thing to go with my cowboy suit.
And that's a... Over there's a pair of garbage cans marked his and hers.
And that's enough. I don't want to hear anymore.
George, I don't think you're happy with me.
I love you, honey, but this buying craze is like a disease with you. It's almost like you've got kleptomania.
Yeah, well, did I buy that too?
They'd sell it, you would. Look at this trash. I'm going to call the junk dealer and have him come right away and take it away.
Yes, dear. Well, the junk man was here, George, and I made a wonderful deal with him.
Good. How much money?
$34.
Only $34?
Well, wasn't that a bargain? And I bought everything but his horse and wagon.
I give up. I'm going to the cigar store. Hello, Pops.
Oh, how do, Mr. Burns? Yeah, you're looking worried today.
I am, Pops. Gracie buys everything that comes along. Spends money like water.
Well, you ought to be glad she can. Look at me. I run an army store down south during the war. Made a big bundle of money, but I can't spend none of it.
Why not?
It's Confederate money.
Oh, you're in the Confederate Army?
Yeah. Which side was you on?
I was 4F. Let me have a couple of my favorite cigars.
Yeah. Here you be, to Prefecto Royales. That'll be nickel.
Pops, I gotta find some way to keep salesmen away from my house.
If smoking them cigars won't do it, nothing will. Hey, wait a minute, I got an idea. A friend of mine works for the Board of Health. Now, suppose you have the policeman tack a quarantine sign on your door.
Hey, a quarantine sign on my door? Yeah. That'll keep them away.
Sure. Now, you wait on my customers. I'll go back to the stockroom and telephone the Board of Health. Excuse me, won't take long.
Those salesmen think we're quarantined. They won't...
Hello, Pops. Say, you're looking older than usual today.
You recognize me, Joe Bagley.
Oh, it's you, Joe.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, you don't look so good either.
You wouldn't either if you were married to Gracie. She can't say no to a salesman. Our spare room is completely filled with junk that she bought.
You lucky guy.
Lucky?
Sure. Our spare room is empty, so what happens? My mother-in-law is coming to visit us. The old moose.
Joe.
What's the matter? Wouldn't you call your mother-in-law that?
Certainly not. The old moose would kill me. Joe. Joe, you just made me realize how valuable that stuff is. As long as our spare room is full, Gracie's mother can't visit us.
Yeah. Wish I had it.
Well, lucky me. Now I can go to the office and do some work. So long, Joe. Happy mother-in-law.
If I could talk Gracie into sending for her mother, she'd empty her spare room and I could get the stuff to fill mine. Oh, that'd be a dirty trick to play on George. Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Gracie goes for this. A sofa cushion with mother on it's a pretty corny thing to be selling. But George said she'd buy anything.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Joe.
Hello, Gracie. I'm selling...
I'll buy it. What are you selling?
A sofa cushion with Mother on it.
Oh, wonderful. I thought Mother was in San Francisco.
It just has the word Mother on it, Grace.
Oh.
How long since you've seen your dear, sweet mother with the silvery hair?
I've never seen her.
What?
Silver is one color she never dyed.
Oh, but think of her, Gracie. What would it mean to you to see your mother coming up the walk right now? A tiny, frail little wisp of a woman.
It would mean she lost about 150 pounds.
Your mother pines to see you, Gracie. There's nothing stronger than mother love. Whose hand rocked your cradle through the night? Your mother's.
True.
And when you cried, it was your mother who looked into your crib and said, "What is it, baby?"
Oh, Mama was so good to me.
And she longs to comfort you again. She's worried about you. She wonders if her darling child is well.
Oh, I've been so thoughtless.
She lies awake, tears streaming down her furrowed face. She calls out into the night, "Gracie, my baby, how are you?"
I'm all right, Mama. How are you?
Gracie, don't delay another moment. Send for your mother. Send for that dear, sweet little... What color is her hair now?
Strawberry blonde.
Send for that dear, sweet little strawberry blonde.
Oh, I will, right away. But where can I put her? Our spare room is full of things I bought.
Gracie, I cannot stand by and see a child denied its mother. I will put those things in my spare room.
Oh, you're good, Joe. Good. Someday you'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
Here, take some of George's cigars.
Well, no, thanks. I'm not in that big a hurry to get there.
Oh, I'm glad you got back, George. Are you still mad at me for buying all those things?
No, honey, I'm tickled to death. Buy all you want. Grandma's spare room's so full a gopher can't get into it.
That's no way to talk about my mother.
Huh?
Who told you Mama was coming?
Your mother was coming?
Yes.
But there's no room for her.
Oh, there is now. That kind, generous Joe Bagley emptied our spare room and put everything in his.
What?
Oh, he's such a wonderful man and a model husband. You should take after Joe.
Give me a club and I will. Look, honey, call your mother and tell her not to come.
But she wants to see me. Like Joe Bagley says, there's nothing stronger than mother love. Whose hand threw rocks at your cradle every night? Your mother's.
Gracie.
When you were a baby, it was your mother who looked into your crib and said, "What is it?"
I'm in plenty of trouble.
Looking over a four-leaf clover and Peg O' My Heart. Yes, Meredith, two of the really grand songs of yesteryear.
Yesteryear? Don't you listen to the jukeboxes? They're just as popular today.
Well, how about that, Meredith? What explains the great popularity of these songs year after year? I guess you can chalk it up to nostalgia, our fond memories of the past.
Could be, Toby, but shucks, if you know music, you know these songs are really solid. The boys who wrote them knew it takes not one, but a number of musical ingredients to produce a hit tune. Now, just lend an ear to this popular revival. Try to recognize it from just this mellow harmony. Or now with this rich counter melody added.
Ah, lovely music, Meredith, but the full song needs more.
Then we'll add the vigorous rhythm. And now we'll blend in the melody and complete this favorite song of 1929.
Yes, the beautiful and popular You Were Meant For Me.
Gracie, please call your mother and tell her not to come. She always stays so long.
No, she doesn't.
Well, the last time she was here, you said she just dropped by to eat. And she stayed 6 months.
Well, she never stopped eating, did she?
You're not kidding. Gracie, your mother doesn't like me. She didn't want me to marry you. She did everything she could to stop our wedding.
Yeah, she even hid my pocketbook so you couldn't pay the preacher.
I'll never forget what she did to me after the ceremony.
Oh, George, every mother throws rice on her son-in-law.
Not in 5-pound bags. From the church steeple yet. And then she tied my old shoes to the back of the car to be dragged through the street.
But that's the custom after a wedding.
I was still wearing them.
Oh, Mama was just having fun. You know her Irish sense of humor.
Yeah, she's a cute kid. I tell you, Gracie, your mother never did approve of me. She wanted you to marry Joe Muldoon. If she comes here, I'll see who's at the door. Excuse me. Hope it's someone who can help me out of this mess. Hello, all. Meredith, you can be a lifesaver.
Very well. What flavor? I love masquerade parties.
That's not what I meant. I'll give you $10 if you'll help me keep Gracie's mother away.
I'll do it, George. I need the money. I had to pay rather a stiff fine today for playing a flute and a clarinet at the same time.
That's a crime?
I was also driving a car.
Well, here's your $10. Now, you come in and tell Gracie your apartment is being painted, and you'd like to stay in our spare room. She's fond of you, and she'll postpone her mother's visit.
Very well. Hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Meredith.
Gracie, may I request your hospitality for a few days? My apartment is being painted.
Oh, really? What color?
What color?
Yes, what color?
Well, pardon me a moment. George, you neglected to tell me what color to say. How about green?
Goodbye, Meredith.
But, George, I'm trying to make the story that we concocted sound convincing. Shall I say blue?
Scram.
I don't believe I'm familiar with that color. Look,
now,
Wilson.
Now, it's no use, boys. I know this whole thing was cooked up by George to keep Mama away.
George, he gave away our secret.
Out! If anyone can help me out of this mess, Bill Goodwin can. I hope he's in his apartment.
Come in, honey.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, dear.
I was just having a chat with Professor Klockendorfer here. You know the professor.
Oh, sure. Hello, Professor Klockendorfer.
Somebody spoke?
Yes. Remember me?
Of course I remember you. I got ice like a house. How could I forget that long, sunburnt nose?
That's my cigar.
So? I'm surprised Mr. Goodwin would date a girl that smokes cigars.
He's a slob. Look, Bill.
Yeah?
I need your help. Unless you and I can stop her, Gracie's mother is coming to stay with us.
Oh, a battle act, huh?
Well, no. It's not that she's such a bad old girl, but she just despises me.
Well, what's she got against you?
She doesn't like actors.
Yeah, but what's she got against you?
You want to help me or not?
Oh, sure, George. I'll go over and talk Gracie into canceling her mother's visit.
Let's go.
Alan.
Oh, Mom, I'm so glad to see you.
I jumped on an aeroplane.
Oh, that's dangerous. You should ride in.
Oh, Gracie, sure you haven't changed a bit. You're still like your little Joe.
Oh, yes, he'll be home pretty soon. And, Mama, please, try to be more friendly to George.
Well, I'll try, but I don't hold out much hope.
Well, just what is it you don't like about him?
I can't begin to tell you.
Well, why not?
I'm only staying 3 weeks. But I'll say this. I trust no man who doesn't earn his living with his hands. Your husband's in show business, and that makes him a bum.
Look, show business had nothing to do with it.
Ah, Gracie McCushla, why didn't you marry that fine, honest, hard-working lad, Joe Muldoon?
You mean Joe Muldoon with the bald head and the cauliflower ears and the buck teeth and the big fat stomach and the bow legs and glass feet who worked in the livery stable?
Yes. Why didn't you marry him?
I didn't love him. I don't know why, I just didn't love him.
You have to go and marry George Burns.
And he's a fine man too, Mama. They don't make him like George anymore.
Saints be praised. Where is the little blatherskite? Why isn't he here to greet his loving mother-in-law?
Well, he must be around the neighborhood somewhere, Mama. I'll go see if I can find him. Now, you make yourself comfortable in the spare room.
Oh, Gracie. Hey, Gracie.
Probably in the spare room fixing it up for Mama. I'll have a look.
Well, Gracie, how... Mama. How did you get here so soon?
I flew.
Oh, I forgot about your broomstick.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. I'm glad to see you, Mama. Nice to see you.
Don't.
How are you, Mama?
Don't fool Mama me. Why aren't you here to greet me?
Well, I didn't know
poor
that.
Poor little Gracie's out looking for you. Looking where have you been? Out loafing, I suppose. Playing pool and gambling.
I wasn't.
Well, don't stand there. Answer the front door.
There's no one at the door.
I distinctly heard someone rapping. See who it is.
Okay. What are you doing here, officer?
Packing up this quarantine sign. Get back in that house.
Holy smoke. I forgot Pops was going to have that sign put up. Officer, that's just a gag to keep salesmen away. There's nobody sick here.
I don't believe it. A man who looks like you has got to be sick. Now get back in that house.
But, officer, you see that...
Nobody goes in or out of this house for 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Hello, dear. I came to the window to talk to you because a man from the Board of Health wouldn't let me in the house. How did you get chicken pox? You haven't eaten chicken for weeks.
Gracie, I...
Well, goodbye, dear.
Wait a minute. Where will you spend the next 2 weeks?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll stay in the basement.
Here?
No, at the May Company. They're having a big sale.
Gracie, wait. Don't leave me with the slave driver.
George!
Coming, Mother.
More information on hundreds of cassette products.
Something I can do with a nickel. Oh, well, let's go, McCarthy. Hello? Mr. Bergen? Guess who this is? Yeah, now, wait a minute, Bergen. Yeah, but you got to take me back. Now, please. Yeah. Well, I work for 50 cents a week. 25? I work for nothing. I'll pay you. I'll be your slave, Bergen. Listen, if you'll only take me back this one time.